from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour, Chris Goforth at 2 this afternoon, live on Sports Radio 99 The Game. On this Saturday afternoon, Braves tonight, Spencer Schwalenbach against Ranger Suarez. Boy, you know, that Ranger Suarez, it'd be nice to not only touch up the Phillies and get a win, but also to get to Suarez, because he has been a big pin in our patootie, hasn't he? And he might start the All-Star game. He's had a great year. There's no question of that. 7:15 first pitch tonight. See if the Braves can snap out of their funk. And again, we're just kind of looking for reasons, what kind of reasons to figure this out, because the Braves have fallen now 10 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies in the East. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's over because there's so much time left to go. But if you don't start making up ground now, it's going to be, you know, I think they got it down to, what, 6 maybe? And they were starting to inch closer, and they were, oh, okay, maybe this is, and then now it's falling back to 10. These games really count, as you know, because these are the head-to-heads. They count twice. Really important game tonight, you know, eventually. And again, I'm not locked in on necessarily having to win the East. Don't get me wrong on that. But winning the East would be a good goal if for no other reason than you don't want to have to be in a mess of a wild card, because at the moment with what's happened with the Braves over the last 62 games, they're 29-33. They're 4 games under 500 over the last 62 games, is that they are now only 1 game ahead of the Padres, and those are the top 2 spots in the wild card, and they're only 1.5 games ahead of the Cardinals. And so they're 1.5 games away from being possibly out of the wild card. And if you look behind Atlanta in the wild card standings, and again, of course, 2 wild cards, but San Diego, St. Louis 2, San Francisco 3, Arizona 4, Mets 5, Pirates 6, Reds 7, Washington 8, Cubs 9. That's 9 teams that are closer to the Braves in the wild card than the Braves are to the Phillies in the East. 9 teams. Matter of fact, the farthest is the Cubs at 7.5 games back, which means there's going to be a lot of teams pushing hard, which also means that they're all shopping, which means that right now the cost of trying to make a move is really high, unless you're just going to do what the Braves did, which is grab a guy like Eddie Rosario, who was DFA'd by Washington, and you can stick him down in Gwinnett. And so you have like Brian Anderson and Nacho and Rosario and guys that I think some fans are interested in seeing. And certainly it would be a warm welcome if Eddie comes back up here. And no question about it. I mean, he's been a hero to us. 404-726-0929. What do you make of the Braves here as they lose game 1 against the Phillies and try and find something that will spark them? Because I can't see right now any spark on this team at all. Let's go to John Boy. John, what is up?
My take is that the New Orleans Saints are going to kick y'all's butts this year because y'all are trash. You're trash.
That was the call of the day. Why did you cut him off? I wanted him to go further. You didn't have to cut him off, Eric. You could have let him go. Look, stupid is as stupid does, right? So let stupid be stupid.
Okay, next time I let him go and go and go. He lied to me. That's why I cut him off. He said he wanted to talk about the Braves.
Well, yeah, but of course he lied to you. He's a swamper.
Yeah, man, I tell you.
You know, I mean, he had to lie to get the phone.
Yeah, I tell you.
You know?
Mm-hmm. John, you know, I should have known when he said his name was John Boy.
Right. I mean, he had to lie to you because I'm sure he told the guard that he was going to call his mom, right? Could I have a quarter? And so, I mean, he's a swamper. What else?
Yeah, he had to trade his honey bun just to get the phone time.
dude eats, he's a crayon eater. I mean, don't worry about no honey buns. He likes them big, fat, thick crayons. I mean, you know, No, and by the way, we're laughing at this guy only because not only is he an idiot, but he does not know what's coming. he really believes what he just said, okay? Dude, you have no idea what you're about to be hit with because I am privately and quietly thinking I'm not sure the NFL knows what they're about to get hit with. Because I think Raheem Morris is, I've got my private hopes for the Atlanta Falcons are higher than I expected they would be. But I look at that team, this is why I'm going to be really intrigued, because I want validation of what I'm thinking in my mind. You know, I had somebody call up the other day and say, you guys suck. You're going to lose the first three games. Pittsburgh's going to wipe you out. You're going to go to Kansas City and get crushed. You're going to go to Philadelphia and get crushed. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Yeah, you guys suck. I was like, all right, you know, thanks for that. There's some brilliant analysis. It's almost on a John Boy level. You know, I mean, you aren't seeing what I'm seeing here. And that's okay. We can disagree without being disagreeable. He was somewhat disagreeable, but, I mean, disagreeable to himself and to his family for embarrassing himself. I mean, that's all. 404-726-0929. He ostensibly wanted to talk about the Braves. But then again, I've always asked this question, too. You know, here's a Swamper. He probably is a Braves fan. We have somebody on our staff at 929 The Game who we all really like. Who's a gigantic Braves fan. He's huge. Also a Swamper.
Huge, yeah, I know.
He's also a Swamper.
Yeah, I like that guy, too. Know. And he coaches softball, and I love softball. And I'm like,
he's a great guy.
Yeah, I'm like, you're a really likable dude, man. You just, you know, you can't blame he was born in a bad place.
I understand that. But you can't be, it's just disqualifying to me. If you are a Swamper, you cannot root for a team in Atlanta. Sorry, you can't. No, there's no rooting for a team in Atlanta if you're a Swamper. You're a damn Swamper. Stay in the swamp.
And he comes in here on Sundays wearing
that. You're either with us or you're against us, okay?
You've seen him. He comes in here on Sundays wearing that black and gold, and I want to go downstairs and slash his tires. But he's my buddy.
No, you don't. You're not a Swamper. That's a Swamper move. You know, we're not those people.
Okay.
No, that's what they do.
Can I put sugar in his gas tank?
Yeah, you might be able to do that.
Okay.
Egg the bus. No, we shouldn't even do that. We did that once. That was not a good move. Anyway, 404-726-0929. Yeah, Braves fans. You know, Braves fans who are Panthers fans, I kind of allow because Panthers, you know, I mean, whatever. But Swampers, I mean, no. Y'all find you got a baseball team in town, go root for them, you know? But they're not Major League. Right, correct. You got a soccer team in town, go root for them. Yeah, but they're not Major League. Correct. You know why? Why? Because you're really not a Major League city. I mean, you're just not. You're not a Major League town. You've got a couple of Major League teams, but you really shouldn't even have those. So you're not really a Major League city. And, you know, and this is a Major League town. I mean, this is a town. Atlanta, that's a town, okay? That's a town. The only problem with Atlanta as a big town, sixth largest market in the country, is that Atlanta doesn't act like the sixth largest market in the country. Our sports teams, I mean, the city does. You know, the city acts like it. We are internationally known. We get these incredible events that come into town. We have the world's busiest airport. I mean, everything about the city acts like the sixth largest market in the country. And as the big walk-and-talking in the entire Southeast, extending from the nation's capital to the tip of Florida all the way out to Dallas-Fort Worth, I mean, in that entire gigantic swath of area, we are the big it, okay? But our sports teams don't act like it. Our sports teams act like we're in Memphis. Yeah, you know, we got a salary cap we have to work. Who gives a damn about no salary cap? We're Atlanta. Do you think they sit around in New York and go, yeah, we got a salary? No, they don't. They don't even do that in Philadelphia, which is a smaller town than Atlanta. They don't do that. They don't sit around in Boston, which is a much smaller town than Atlanta. Atlanta has well over 2.5 million more people than Boston does. And Boston doesn't sit around and go, yeah, we got a salary cap. No, they don't do that. They don't do that, you know? We do for some stupid reason. It's like, quit doing that. And then that people get on the media. You know, all right, see, it's your fault. You know, you guys aren't calling these people. You know, I love that. You're not calling these people out. I'm from New York. I know what New York. I did two tours of duty in New York. I'm fully aware of what WFAN is. I had to put up with it and deal with it. And no, you're right. We're not. Because we are not vain throbbing Richards. That's not what we do. Okay. We are not screaming into the mic. You suck. This sucks. Everybody sucks. That is not. Chris Russo is your guy. You can have him. Okay. That is not my cup of tea. I am not going to get angry. Yes, Brian Snicker sucks. And, you know, and Leiterfield sucks. They just suck. Man, they just suck. That's because that's New York sports radio right there. Okay? I just gave you a taste of it. That's all it is. This guy sucks. That guy sucks. Everything sucks. Screaming in the radio. What the hell are you doing? You know, I mean, that's all they do all day. And it's just like, oh, wow. Bang your head on the table. We can be critical, though, and say, what are you guys doing? I mean, and we are. And the idea that we're not critical down here on Sports Talk Radio, I'm like, dude, do you not realize that when I was doing the morning show with you, that I had Dan Quinn, by the way, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I mean, really just a true, decent, honorable, likable, really a great guy. Okay, and I kind of hope he has some success in Washington now. That's going to work with Dan Snyder, but, you know, good luck to him up there. I had kind of a friendship with him. I mean, we'd chat, we'd laugh. I mean, it was a work friendship, you know, but it was we got him on the show 1-7, and Hugh and I get him on the show, and we're like, Coach, hey, listen, you know, all the chatter is that, you know, you're going to be, you know, your job's in jeopardy here. Bam. And from that moment on, it was like, you ever had that relationship you couldn't get out of, where it went wrong and sideways and you were forced to either work with somebody or live with somebody and everything became yes, no? Hey, how you doing? Fine. Everything became the one word. You know what I'm talking about? That's what happened with Dan Quinn. We started getting him on the show, and after that, Coach, it was a tough game this week. Was. What did you think of Matt Ryan's play? Fine. I mean, it was like the ice bridge went up. You know, because we dared ask about, you know, hey, listen, ask the honest question, right? I campaigned on this, on the air here, to have certain people fired in this town. Freddie Gonzalez had to go. You know, Lloyd Pierce had to go. Nate McMillan had to go. I mean, Mike Smith had to go. And Arthur Smith had to go. I mean, it's not like I don't say that kind of stuff here. It happens. Dean Pease was in a news conference in Flowery Branch and blew Hugh and I up in the news conference. I mean, my phone's blowing up because people say, dude, DP's is sitting in a news conference. He's blowing you and Hugh up. Like, for what? And he's calling us like chuckleheads and not to our face, mind you, because neither of us are there, but the assembled media, I mean, D-Led's there, Channel 5 and 11 and 2 and this and that, and yeah, everybody's there, and Joe Patrick's there, and he's, hey, you guys are getting toasted here. And he's just ranting on us in a news conference. I'm like, well, what do we do to Dean Pease? I mean, were we critical, I guess, maybe, of him? And so, but we ironed that out, which is interesting enough, because DP started coming on our show all the time, and it was fun. And I have great respect for Coach Pease, by the way. And I like him, too. I'm not really sure what that was all about. But nonetheless, to say that we don't call people out here, that we don't hold people to account, we just do it in a different way. You know, it's still strident, but we're not jerks about it. So that's the difference between us and the New York media. So for those of you who come from Philadelphia or Boston or New York, if you come from the Scream Fest up there, you know, L.A. media is different, too. L.A. media is not a Scream Fest, okay? It's not. L.A. media, sports talk is, because I worked in it, right? I worked in both New York and L.A., right? And so L.A., I was never in talk radio in New York. I was only in television. In L.A., I was in talk radio, both at multiple stations in L.A., in San Diego, and, of course, with the network with Fox. And it's not a Scream Fest out there. It's more like it is here in Atlanta. And so the people from the Northeast Corridor, where it is a Scream Fest, think that by some virtue, if we Carl and Mike Johnson and Andy and Randy and Squid and everybody, you know, if we were all go on the air and just start screaming at people, that would change things. That's not really how it works. You guys are too afraid to call out the Falcons or the Hawks or United because they're on your air. I don't know. You've been listening to me for 12 years. Have I ever pulled any punches on any of these teams? Because, honestly, I don't think I have. Matter of fact, did I just read? I've been pretty harsh on the Hawks. Because and now I'm just curious what they're going to do. Now, when they tip off, am I going to be behind them 100%? You bet. You're damn right I am. Go, Quinn Snyder, go. Show me what you got. Sports Radio 90 on the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, I guess, you know, we wanted to be... It's so interesting to be in the situation that I've been in here lately, because me wanting to be the eternal optimist, because I'm an optimistic person. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. But I'm just a little down in the mouth about kind of the direction things are going. Partly because, you know, when you've been around as long as I have, this is the old man moment I have between the Braves, the Falcons, the Hawks, Atlanta United, the Chiefs, the Flames, the Thrashers. I have something on the order of 315 professional seasons. I don't know. It's over 300 professional seasons, and I got what to show for it? Three titles. You know, I mean, that's it. You know, that's not a lot. Not a lot. And in all that time, not a lot. You know, I get a title every 100 seasons. I mean, I need more than that. But I was kind of wondering a little bit, all right, if we spin it around, and maybe this is a question I guess I could ask the rest of the show if somebody wants to jump in on it, or I could just ask it tomorrow too. And I could ask it of Eric Slaughter here. Eric, what is the best case scenario for each of our teams in town right now? What is the best case scenario, say, for the Braves?
Realistically, well, the best case scenario for the Braves is still World Series championship. They are still a World Series caliber roster, World Series, you know, experience, and World Series is their goal. So that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, well, at least I thought it was until Brian Snicker said their goal was to win the East.
His goal is to win the East along the way to winning the World Series.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the realistic goal here or not. I don't know how to define realistic goals. I mean, it's certainly the goal. Is it realistic? At the moment, it doesn't appear to me to be realistic. So I think maybe the best realistic, most realistic outcome for the Braves is to make the wild card.
Okay, but once you're in the dance, you're in the dance. So tell that to the World Series defending champions. They were a wild card team.
I know. No, I get it. No, I understand. You know, I mean, and maybe the Braves just fare better as a wild card team. I don't know the last time they made the playoffs as a wild card team. Gosh, have they ever made the playoffs as a wild card team?
It would be in those early 2000s because each of the last six have been as division champs.
Yeah, right. And sorry for not knowing that off the top of my head. The best case scenario, all right, wild card at the moment. And right now I think they're hanging on dear life for that. Okay, so what's the best case scenario this year for the Hawks?
Realistic best case scenario?
Yeah.
Play-in team?
No, the unrealistic one, of course.
Okay, okay. Let's be honest. If Orlando,
82-0 is unrealistic.
I think they could catch Orlando. Orlando is not an insurmountable obstacle, so they could catch Orlando and they could win the Southeast Division. This team does have talent. Trey is the man now. He's going to score 30.
Stop. Nobody knows what the hell the Southeast Division is. Nobody knows what that is.
So they can
literally
win the
nobody knows.
Yep. So they could win the division.
Yeah, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody knows.
A division winner gets you a banner, John. It gives you, that's realistic.
Yeah, but nobody knows what it is. Mm-hmm. It is like the most pointless thing in the world are NBA divisions. I think 98% of fans don't even know that there are divisions in the NBA.
Quite possibly. Yeah, especially since the playoffs now don't go by. You know, remember when the division winners was guaranteed a top three seed in a home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yeah, and they got rid of that.
Yeah. But I do think winning the Southeast Division could be done.
Okay. Again, people will say, wait, they won the what? There's a Southeast Division? No, I think the best case scenario for the Hawks would be to push to upper 40s to right around 50 wins and
50 wins, you definitely win in the Southeast. I'm gonna go in order my T-shirt.
But larger for me is that Quinn Snyder puts his real. This is the first year that Quinn Snyder is really going to be able to put his imprint on this team, because I think that he has an idea of what he wants to do. He inherited a team for 20 games. He was stuck with a contract, mm-hmm. and now he's going to do something different. Because the only thing I'm hanging my hat on is that Quinn Snyder really wants to use. This is a Trey's team, make no mistake about it, and we're going to run everything through Trey, and Trey's going to win us. You know, just like what happened with that playoff run, Trey himself is going to be the point guy on taking this team to upper 40 wins, to near 50 wins, and so I'm going to hang my hat. That's the best case. All right, let's go to Atlanta United. What is the best case for Atlanta United? Let me give you mine. Best case for Atlanta United is to retool the franchise, get a new head coach, and to commit to what other teams are doing in terms of, we need this. If you really want to be that soccer team, you can't. Now, of course, Beckham went to L.A. way before, you know, the Atlanta United ever existed. But when the Messis and Suarezes of the world say, I think I'm done, I'm going to the United States to finish my career, you need to get that guy. You need to get Ronaldo here. You need to get Mbappe here. You need to get Harry Kane. You need to get that dude here. You know what I'm saying? You need to get that guy to come here and play. You need that superstar. The best case scenario for Atlanta United is you need that. Because what have they lacked? I mean, they've had a lot of really good players, but unfortunately, they've turned into Kentucky. They're one and done. And I don't want one and dones. You can't have guys coming in here, becoming stars, whether it's a Barco or a Yakamakis or, you know, of course, you know, you had it with Joseph, all right? You did have it with Joseph because obviously he was here a number of years. But then you let him go. And so once you moved on from Joseph, you needed to replace Joseph, but not with the one-and-done guys.
Yeah, and Amada was a 2 or 3 year guy, but the time he really became guy, he wasn't.
Yeah, right.
You know, those first 2 years, he's like, oh, he could be the best player in MLS. And then when he got to the point, like, well, he maybe is the best player in MLS. Oh, now he's gone.
Yeah. Right. And so I think you need to establish something where you have a center post guy. And I'm talking about a guy that you can build around that you know that you signed to a 3-year contract that people know, okay, and then you surround him. And if you surround him with one and dones, that's fine. I mean, but you need a center post guy to be the face of the franchise and that is not going to automatically be poached by some, you know, South American team for $10 million, which I don't mind that Yakamaki's left. I mind that he left for $10 million to Cruz Azul. If he went to, you know, back to Europe and went to, Liverpool for $30 million, mm-hmm. okay, fine. $10 million to Cruz Azul, I'm like turning that deal down. I'm like, no, I'm not giving up the guy that the fans, at some point you have to commit to your own fans.
Right. A guy who can lead the MLS and score year in and year out.
Yes, right. And by the way, is popular. You don't get rid of him for $10 million. You can't do that.
A guy that had his own catchphrase. Boom, yakamakis.
Right, right. And people would say, well, it's a good business decision. No, it's not a good business decision. It's a bad business decision. Because the good business decision is building the franchise, because you've lost that edge that you had. You hit You hit this town like a ton of bricks from that opening game at Bobby Dodd Stadium to the title and even beyond. Like, you were just in everybody's face. You became the thing. And there, I mean, you were the thing. And you've let that slide away primarily because you've changed coaches how many times? And now you've not only changed coaches how many times, but you've also changed players how many times? Hell, I don't even know. It's like, who's on this team anymore? You know, I mean, and I watch them, and it's hard to get. So they need to settle the franchise down. Get a coach who's going to be here for a while. Get a center post, centerpiece of a player, and build around those two guys. Okay? That's what Atlanta United needs to do. And third thing is, start getting this pipeline going out of your own academy, where you're actually getting an annual player, a guy that becomes a star coming out of there every year. And so that's another thing they probably need to do. The final thing I think that has to be is, of course, the Falcons. Now, what's the expectation for the Falcons? Here's my thing. You can tell me. My expectation coming into this year was, okay, upgrade the quarterback room. I'm really happy that Raheem is here. I hope he's the coach. My expectation, my desire is that he's the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. What this franchise needs is for Raheem Morris to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons for the next 15 seasons. They need a guy to come in here and stop this wheel of coaches. He needs to become the winningest coach in Atlanta Falcons history. And he needs to be the guy for 15 years. And it starts now, immediately. And I think the best case scenario is they exceed the expectations, not of the national media, which isn't expecting much, but even of those of us who are here who would accept 10 wins at a South title. They need to exceed those expectations. Not whether that means Super Bowl or not. They just need to exceed the expectations of everybody. Not necessarily internally, because their expectations may be higher than what they achieve. I'm saying externally, they need to achieve something beyond what we hope that they'll do. How
yeah, you about know,
that?
You know, John, you know what actually kind of mind boggles me about what you just said? To accomplish that feat is not even that hard. How many Falcons fans out there in Dirty Bird Nation, how many people can tell you that Mike Smith is the winningest coach in this franchise's history? I mean, that's amazing. You know, to think about that. Mike Smith is the winningest coach in this history.
Who's second? Lehman Bennett?
It's probably Dan Reeves, but I need to look it up. But we all know it's Mike Smith. And you think about the Mike Smith regime here, other than the fact that he came in with Matt Ryan, there's not much to show for it. Raheem Morris could do that easily if he starts winning right off the bat, just like Mike Smith did, gives us some longevity and gets to 10, 12, 15 years. He could easily become the winningest coach in franchise history. Mike Smith,
yeah, winning coach. And I need a coach that's going to be here for a while, because we've been rolling through coaches here. You know, Dan Quinn had a, you know, mildly long run. Of course, he hit the ground running those first 3 years pretty good. You know, 8-8 to Super Bowl to back to division championship game, first down and 10 in Philadelphia, first down and goal at the 10 in the division round. But if they complete one of those passes to Julio, they win the game, and they probably win the NFC Championship. They're probably right back in the Super Bowl. So, but then the last 3 years weren't no good. So, but he was here for six. And you know, I think at year three, I think there was some thought that he could be here for a while, and then I just kind of went sideways on him. And he and Dimitrov. And then you got to Arthur Smith. And the last thing we need really now is to go through another three-year coach. I think it would be really damaging to the franchise if Raheem's only here for 3 years. I think that would be really bad. Because then you're resetting again. You know, this is already, if you kind of think about it in these terms, going from Dan Quinn to Arthur Smith to Raheem Morris, he's the third head coach in four seasons, right, with the third offensive coordinator, the third defensive coordinator, and the third, you know, style. So, I mean, Jake Matthews has gone through in 4 years, you know, coaching staff and a style, coaching staff and a style, coaching staff. That's three in 4 years. So you can't have that kind of turnover for guys like Grady less so, because and Jake, too. I mean, it's not really a huge change they can adjust, but I'm just saying that it's just really not kind of great to go through that year over year over year, you know, every 3 years going through a coach. Just not the best thing in the world. But franchises that have a lot of success tend to have coaches who stay for quite a while.
Yep.
And we all see that.
So, John, it's Mike Smith followed by Dan Reeves, and they had the same years, and they're only separated by a couple of wins. 112 for Mike Smith, 109 for Dan Reeves. 7 years of head coach.
Where does Lehman Bennett fall in that?
Lehman Bid will be third with 87 wins, 6 years from 77 to 82, followed by Dan Quinn with 85.
Of good years.
Very good.
Yeah,
John.
Lehman
Very
had a couple
good.
Of good years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 112 is the magic number. 112 in 7 years.
112. Okay. All right. 112. All right. So let's get to 112 wins. Well, what does Raheem have now? I mean, he comes in with.
He gets credit for the four that he had as an interim coach. So he's got four wins as the Atlanta Falcons head coach.
All right. So he comes in. He's got four. So he's got four.
Yep. Four and seven is his official record as the Atlanta Falcons head coach.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So there you go. So hopefully he's here for a long, long time. So anyway, so expectations are that Atlanta United gets a new coach. At least I hope this is my desire. And they get a center post piece that they can build around. Don't let him go for $10 million to Cruz Azul. Because they could have made Yakimakis that guy. And when they let him go for that, I was like, what are you guys doing? Walk me through this. I mean, I know that Garth's got stuff. He's got something he's got going on, but... You know, you need players you can sell to the fans. You need players you can, you know. So I was just a little confused by that one. Especially with a guy that was pretty darn popular with the fan base. But whatever. And because I really wanted Atlanta United to do well. And Atlanta United, by the way, playing tonight. Our coverage begins at 8:30, live from Salt Lake City, Utah, with Real Salt Lake and Atlanta United. On your home of the Five Stripes, Sports Radio 99 The Game. All right, coming up top of the hour, Chris Goforth. We'll take you from 2 to 5, and we count down towards soccer tonight as we look to the Braves. Game 2 against the Phillies at Truist Park with Schwalbach against Suarez on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Thinking about coaches, and we were talking about Lehman Bennett, and I was thinking, you know, of course the Falcons had the worst head coach of all time, right? I mean, to me, the worst head coach of all time. That was the luck of the Falcons franchise, right? Bobby Petrino, worst head coach of all time. So I look it up, and there's actually a list on Pro Football Focus, PFF, right, of the worst head coaches ever in Bobby Petrino. He's not number one. He's not the worst ever. Congratulations, I guess. You want to take a gander as to who number one is, just off the top of your head?
Is it Mr. Ohio State?
Oh, that would be very good. Eric Slaughter gets the prize, whatever that is. Urban Meyer is the worst head coach in the history of the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Numero uno, Urban Meyer.
Oh, that's crazy.
Dude, when you don't fly back with your team and you're sitting there with some hottie blondie named Carolyn Nebraska at a bar in Ohio because you don't want to go back with your team, you're probably the worst coach. And it's so funny because, you know, some coaches don't translate from college to professional and from professional to college. They just don't translate. They are different games, college basketball, college NBA, college football, NFL. And so very few do both well. Okay, and so the coaches that do both well, Jimmy Johnson, for example, I don't count Barry Switzer in that because he was given a pat hand. That doesn't mean I don't think Barry Switzer is a great coach. I actually like Barry Switzer quite a bit. Wonderful man. Just Lou Holtz, you know, and I like Lou a lot too. Yep. But man, that was a damn disaster. With the Jets,
John, one of my first ever sports reporter experiences. I was a young college student. Steve Spurrier's time with the Washington Redskins, or whatever you call them today.
I was like,
man, look at this offense. And then he went and drafted Patrick, whoever his name is, out of Tulane, and just never happened. I was there the day they taped him to the goalpost. I was there. That's the highlight of Steve Spurrier's time with.
Some guys are just college coaches. That's all they are. They're just college coaches, you know. And some guys are just NFL coaches, and they go down and they try and coach college ball, Bill Callahan, and it don't work. Of course, he could coach anyway. Urban Meyer, worst ever. Second worst ever, according to PFF. Nathaniel Hackett. You know, he's a coordinator now with his boy, Aaron, in New York. So we'll see if Buddy Hackett can cut it there. Bobby Petrino is third. Hugh Jackson was ranked as fourth. Boy. Well, what was his record in Cleveland? Like 1-31 or something? I think he had a winless year and a one-win year, right? If I'm not mistaken. I think he won one game in 2 years. Poor Hugh Jackson. David Shula. You know what's so funny, the Shulas? Don was such a great, great, great head coach. I mean, obviously great head coach of the Baltimore Colts, then a great head coach later, of course, of the Miami Dolphins, and one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL. And his boys, David and Mike, yeah, they fell way far away from that coaching tree. I don't have to tell an Alabama fan about Mike Shula, do I? Because when you think, well, you could never go sideways at my school, I remind you that the Alabama Crimson Tide went through the Mikes, plural, all three of them. You know, first Mike Price, right? Do I need to do the Destiny Roll Tide? And then, you know, Mike Shula, right? All the Mikes, right? Yeah, Mike DeBose, yeah. That didn't work out so well, all the Mikes, right? David Shula with the Bengals is the fifth worst, then followed by these are the top 10. So Urban Meyer 1, Nathaniel Hackett 2, Bobby Petrino 3, Hugh Jackson 4, David Shula 5, Joe Judge 6, Matt Patricia 7, Rich Kotite 8, Freddie Kitchens 9, and Adam Gase 10. Say honorable mentions, Greg Schiano, Jim Zorn, Lane Kiffin, Rob Marinelli, Dave Campo, Lou Holtz, Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday,
he was never hired as a head coach. He kind of
And by the way, he was thrown into a really hard spot.
Right, yeah, but he didn't go through an interview process.
I'm not with that.
Yeah, no, me either.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either. And to be honest with you, why is Nick Saban not on that list?
Yeah, there's another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, if Nick Saban doesn't nix Drew Brees to Miami, how things change, huh? How the NFL and college football, that one decision, how it impacted New Orleans, Miami, and Tuscaloosa. Yeah, we don't want Drew Brees because he's got a bad shoulder. Yeah, you just gave a Super Bowl to the Swamp. You put the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have the longest ongoing streak of not having won a playoff game. So we can sit around here and cry in our beer about everything that's happened with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm pretty sure the Miami Dolphins, okay, and they won, what, two Super Bowls? Three. Certainly two. Way back in the day. The Miami Dolphins have the longest active streak of not winning a playoff game, and I think it's something on the order of 24 years. It's 24 years. They haven't won a playoff game in Miami. One a playoff game. A single. One. 24 years. And so, yeah, it's been a minute for the Dolphins. And, of course, you would have think Drew Brees would have probably changed that. And, of course, he would have changed the fortunes of the Dolphins so much that Nick Saban might have stayed and not been considered a really bad NFL coach, but a pretty good one, instead of having to kind of, I'm not going to go. I'm not leaving for Alabama. I'm not leaving. And then go to Alabama. Where, of course, he had a moderate amount of success, I would say. Hey, just a moderate. Isn't that, you know, this college football season, I mean, you get coaching changes, but when was the last time we had something on the magnitude of, you know, arguably the greatest coach of all time in Nick Saban and Alabama and the defending national champion both having to replace their head coaches? And I know that Michigan only elevated Sharon Moore. I get that. But still, you lost Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban. Who were the two most notable coaches in college football? No offense, Kirby Smart, but Jim Harbaugh was national champion last year, and Nick Saban's Nick Saban. So, I mean, Kirby's right there with him, don't get me wrong. But still, you lost Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban. And how are those teams going to react to that? It's one of the intriguing things that we'll have to keep our eyes on in college football this year is what kind of a year is Alabama going to have and what kind of a year is Michigan going to have? Because And don't shoot the messenger here if you're an Alabama or Michigan fan, because College Football News is out here with all of its predictions for this year. You can go to collegefootballnews.com and look them up. Big Ten predictions for this year, SEC predictions for this year, and College Football News has Michigan at 9-3, and they have Alabama at 9-3. And that's another thing I keep saying to you, I want to preach to you, you're going to have to wrap your brain around the fact that 9-3 is not a bad, necessarily a killer season. 9-3, as long as you get quality wins and those three losses aren't bad losses, 9-3 might well, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, it puts you in position to be in, and might well get you into the playoff. There's going to be at least one 9-3 team in the playoff this year. More than likely, somebody will get in at 9-3. And so... Now, it may not happen. You may have to get to 10. That's, I think, going to be viewed as kind of the magic number for SEC and Big Ten teams. The 10 is the magic number to get you possibly in as a wild card. That's not the case with anybody else. So ACC 10 is not in. That ain't the number for you. 11 is the number for you, okay? Just want to make sure that we understand the number for the SEC and the Big Ten is 10. For the ACC and the Big 12, the number is 11, all right? Not 10. Yeah, I know that sucks, but that's just going to be the way it is. If it's the choices between a 10-2 SEC team and an 11-1 ACC team, I got news for you, ACC. Which team's going to get that? Because you can't deny the quality of the leagues. I mean, the SEC now has Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, in no particular order, right? Florida, they have LSU, they have Auburn, they have Texas, they have Oklahoma, they have Texas A&M. I mean, it's just loaded. The Big Ten now has Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. We know about that. They have Oregon, Washington, USC. I mean, the ACC, what are they got SMU and Stanford, and who else do they put in there this year? Cal. Really? Oh, okay. And that improved your league how? You know? Yeah, that's right, it didn't. So, matter of fact, it not only didn't improve the ACC, it reduced the ACC. You know, it actually is a net negative. It may be a positive in terms of money, I guess, but in terms of, you know, power ratings and things of that nature, those teams actually drag you down. They don't add to you. The Big 12, you know, they didn't add because they lost Texas and Oklahoma, but they didn't get hit quite as hard because the four teams they brought in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State at least have, that's better than SMU, Stanford, and Cal by a long shot. If Utah, for no other reason, just Utah alone. Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating year, both the NFL and college football, and I'm so excited. Here it is July, and tomorrow we're going to talk a lot about NFL and college football. So many questions. New coaches at Texas A&M with Mike Elko and Alabama with Kellen DeBoer and Michigan with Sherrone Moore. And, you know, what's going to be, you know, there are people saying that this is it for Deion Sanders. The Deion Sanders experiment in Colorado might come to a crashing end. I mean, he has, do you know that it was one thing to have the one year where he walked in and fired all the players, right? In that famous video, you all can go. And he brought in 65 new guys. Do you know, this is year two. Do you know how many transfers he had out of year one? 42. 42 players left. Now you're going into the Big 12 having to replace 42 players. Say what you like about them not being Deion guys, or maybe these 42 players coming in are pretty good players. It still takes a minute to get everybody on the same page. And you're having to do a massive roster transfer turnover again with 42 transfers?
Coach Prime's time in Colorado comes down to one thing. The top quarterback in the country has named Colorado as the top two finalist. If he chooses Colorado, walk-in takes over for Shador, he stays. If he loses out on the top quarterback, which insiders say he's probably got him, he may be gone. But if the, you know, there's and now there's been some pictures of Shador and the quarterback working out together. So if he gets the quarterback, who is a Georgia boy, just so you know, he stays.
Yeah, no, I think the world is Shador Sanders is a hell of a player. And he's a hell of a player. Travis Hunter, hell of a player. I mean, no question. And I'm a big fan of Deion's. I like him personally and loved him as a player with the Falcons and the Braves, and I personally like him a lot. I just have always said that Colorado was a bad fit for him.
Oh, I agree. He jumped at the first job offered to him, and it was wrong. He should have been a little more patient.
Yeah, it was not the right fit. He should have waited. Yeah, I think he should have waited. spent another year at Jackson and waited for a better fit for him because Colorado wasn't it. And I could have told you that. It's just, again, this is a vibe thing. You go out there, it's just a different world. I lived a year in Denver. You know, it's like Salt Lake City in a lot of ways. It's a town that has, again, you have to understand the lay of the land. When you get into Denver, Denver's a very parochial town, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the Front Range there, that's the whole world to them because there's no other city within 600 miles of them. You know, I mean, you got to go a hell away to find another town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, so you're really kind of by yourself out there. And you got to get kids and moms to agree to go way out into the middle of Colorado to go watch their kids play, you know, even if you're playing for Dion. And that's not an easy thing to do necessarily. On top of that, you got so much turnover. What happens if he goes 2-10 this year? Now, I don't think he will. He's probably more a 5-7 guy.
Yeah, 6-6, 5-7. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if he could, imagine this, give you this scenario, John.
Where did they go last year? They went 4-8, right?
4-8, yep. If he sticks out one more year at Jackson State, they would have went undefeated. No ifs, ands, or buts. They'd have ran through the swag and all that stuff.
Yep. Sure.
Nick Saban steps down.
Right.
Could he have ended up in Tuscaloosa? Would they have called him? Would they have legitimately said, yep, we're going to interview Deion Sanders for the head job at University of Alabama?
I can't say that because that would have been, you know, I mean, how, he does the commercials with Nick. Is he so tight with Nick that Nick would have, because, you know, I think it would have come down to Nick Saban had the, you know, Nick picked his.
Yeah, he gave a stamp of, he definitely gave a stamp of approval.
Right. Yeah. Because he's still with the program.
Yep. That would have been, wouldn't that have been interesting? What ifs of the sports world?
My answer to you is quite possibly because he could have shepherded, and it would have been a far better fit for Deion because Nick could have shepherded him far better.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thinking about coaches, and we were talking about Lehman Bennett, and I was thinking, you know, of course the Falcons had the worst head coach of all time, right? I mean, to me, the worst head coach of all time. That was the luck of the Falcons franchise, right? Bobby Petrino, worst head coach of all time. So I look it up, and there's actually a list on Pro Football Focus, PFF, right, of the worst head coaches ever in Bobby Petrino. He's not number one. He's not the worst ever. Congratulations, I guess. You want to take a gander as to who number one is, just off the top of your head?
Is it Mr. Ohio State?
Oh, that would be very good. Eric Slaughter gets the prize, whatever that is. Urban Meyer is the worst head coach in the history of the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Numero uno, Urban Meyer.
Oh, that's crazy.
Dude, when you don't fly back with your team and you're sitting there with some hottie blondie named Carolyn Nebraska at a bar in Ohio because you don't want to go back with your team, you're probably the worst coach. And it's so funny because, you know, some coaches don't translate from college to professional and from professional to college. They just don't translate. They are different games, college basketball, college NBA, college football, NFL. And so very few do both well. Okay. And so the coaches that do both well, Jimmy Johnson, for example, I don't count Barry Switzer in that because he was given a pat hand. That doesn't mean I don't think Barry Switzer is a great coach. I actually like Barry Switzer quite a bit. Wonderful man. But yeah, just Lou Holtz, you know, and I like Lou a lot too, but man, that was a damn disaster with the Jets.
John, one of my first ever sports reporter experiences, I was a young college student, Steve Spurrier's time with the Washington Redskins or whatever you call them today.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, look at this offense. And then he went and drafted Patrick, whoever his name is, out of Tulane, and just never happened. I was there the day they taped him to the goalpost. I was there. That's the highlight of Steve Spurrier's time.
Some guys are just college coaches. That's all they are. They're just college coaches, you know. And some guys are just NFL coaches, and they go down and they try and coach college ball, Bill Callahan, and it don't work. Of course, he could coach anyway. Urban Meyer, worst ever. Second worst ever, according to PFF. Nathaniel Hackett. You know, he's a coordinator now with his boy, Aaron, in New York. So we'll see if Buddy Hackett can cut it there. Bobby Petrino is third. Hugh Jackson was ranked as fourth. What was his record in Cleveland? Like 1-31 or something? I think he had a winless year and a one-win year, right? If I'm not mistaken. I think he won one game in 2 years. Poor Hugh Jackson. David Shula. You know what's so funny, the Shulas? Don was such a great, great, great head coach. I mean, obviously great head coach of the Baltimore Colts, then a great head coach later, of course, of the Miami Dolphins, and one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL. And his boys, David and Mike, yeah, they fell way far away from that coaching tree. I don't have to tell an Alabama fan about Mike Shula, do I? Because when you think, well, you could never go sideways at my school, I remind you that the Alabama Crimson Tide went through the Mikes, plural, all three of them. You know, first Mike Price, right? Do I need to do the Destiny Roll Tide? And then, you know, Mike Shula, right? All the Mikes, right? Yeah, Mike DeBose, yeah. That didn't work out so well, all the Mikes, right? David Shula with the Bengals is the fifth worst, then followed by these are the top 10. So Urban Meyer 1, Nathaniel Hackett 2, Bobby Petrino 3, Hugh Jackson 4, David Shula 5, Joe Judge 6, Matt Patricia 7, Rich Kotite 8, Freddie Kitchens 9, and Adam Gase 10. Say honorable mentions, Greg Schiano, Jim Zorn, Lane Kiffin, Rob Marinelli, Dave Campo, Lou Holtz, Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday,
he was never hired as a head coach. He kind of got, you know.
And by the way, he was thrown into a really hard spot.
Right, yeah, but he didn't go through an interview process.
I'm not with that.
Yeah, no, me either.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either. And to be honest with you, why is Nick Saban not on that list?
Yeah, there's another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, if Nick Saban doesn't nix Drew Brees to Miami, how things change, huh? How the NFL and college football, that one decision, how it impacted New Orleans, Miami, and Tuscaloosa. Yeah, we don't want Drew Brees because he's got a bad shoulder. Yeah, you just gave a Super Bowl to the Swamp. You put the Dolphins. The Dolphins, I think the Dolphins have the longest ongoing streak of not having won a playoff game. So we can sit around here and cry in our beer about everything that's happened with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm pretty sure the Miami Dolphins, okay, and they won, what, two Super Bowls? Three. Certainly two. Way back in the day. The Miami Dolphins have not, I think they have the longest active streak of not winning a playoff game, and I think it's something on the order of 24 years. It's 24 years. They haven't won a playoff game in Miami. One a playoff game. A single one. 24 years. And so, yeah, it's been a minute for the Dolphins. And of course, you would have think Drew Brees would have probably changed that. And of course, he would have changed the fortunes of the Dolphins so much that Nick Saban might have stayed and not been considered a really bad NFL coach, but a pretty good one, instead of having to kind of, I'm not leaving for Alabama, and then go to Alabama. Where, of course, he had a moderate amount of success, I would say. Hey, just a moderate. Isn't that, you know, this college football season, I mean, you get coaching changes, but when was the last time we had something on the magnitude of, you know, arguably the greatest coach of all time in Nick Saban and Alabama and the defending national champion both having to replace their head coaches? And I know that Michigan only elevated Jerome Moore. I get that. But still, you lost Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban. Who were the two most notable coaches in college football? No offense, Kirby Smart, but Jim Harbaugh was national champion last year, and Nick Saban's Nick Saban. So, I mean, Kirby's right there with him, don't get me wrong. But still, you lost Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban. And how are those teams going to react to that? It's one of the intriguing things that we'll have to keep our eyes on in college football this year is what kind of a year is Alabama going to have and what kind of a year is Michigan going to have? And don't shoot the messenger here if you're an Alabama or Michigan fan, because College Football News is out here with all of its predictions for this year. You can go to collegefootballnews.com and look them up. Big Ten predictions for this year, SEC predictions for this year, and College Football News has Michigan at 9-3, and they have Alabama at 9-3. And that's another thing I keep saying to you, I want to preach to you. You're going to have to wrap your brain around the fact that 9-3 is not a bad, necessarily a killer season. 9-3, as long as you get quality wins and those three losses aren't bad losses, 9-3 might well, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, it puts you in position to be in. It might well get you into the playoff. There's going to be at least one 9-3 team in the playoff this year. More than likely, somebody will get in at 9-3. And so, now, it may not happen. You may have to get to 10. That's, I think, going to be viewed as kind of the magic number for SEC and Big Ten teams. The 10 is the magic number to get you possibly in as a wild card. That's not the case with anybody else. So ACC 10 is not in. That ain't the number for you. 11 is the number for you, okay? Just want to make sure that we understand the number for the SEC and the Big Ten is 10. For the ACC and the Big 12, the number is 11, all right? Not 10. Yeah, I know that sucks, but that's just going to be the way it is. If it's the choices between a 10-2 SEC team and an 11-1 ACC team, I got news for you, ACC. Which team's going to get that? Because you can't deny the quality of the leagues. I mean, the SEC now has Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee in no particular order, right? Florida, they have LSU, they have Auburn, they have Texas, they have Oklahoma, they have Texas A&M. I mean, it's just loaded. The Big Ten now has Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. We know about that. They have Oregon, Washington, USC. I mean, the ACC, what are they got SMU and Stanford, and who else do they put in there this year? Cal. Really? Oh, okay. And that improved your league how? You know? Yeah, that's right, it didn't. So, matter of fact, it not only didn't improve the ACC, it reduced the ACC. You know, it actually is a net negative. It may be a positive in terms of money, I guess, but in terms of, you know, power ratings and things of that nature, those teams actually drag you down. They don't add to you. The Big 12, you know, they didn't add because they lost Texas and Oklahoma, but they didn't get hit quite as hard because the four teams they brought in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State at least have – that's better than SMU, Stanford, and Cal by a long shot. If Utah for no other reason, just Utah alone. Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating year, both the NFL and college football, and I'm so excited. Here it is July, and tomorrow we're going to talk a lot about NFL and college football. So many questions. New coaches at Texas A&M with Mike Elko and Alabama with Kellen DeBoer and Michigan with Sherrod Moore. And, you know, what's going to be, you know, there are people saying that this is it for Deion Sanders. The Deion Sanders experiment in Colorado might come to a crashing end. I mean, he has, do you know that it was one thing to have the 1 year where he walked in and fired all the players, right? In that famous video, you all can go. And he brought in 65 new guys. Do you know, this is year two. Do you know how many transfers he had out of year one? 42. 42 players left. Now you're going into the Big 12 having to replace 42 players. Say what you like about them not being Deion guys, or maybe these 42 players coming in are pretty good players. It still takes a minute to get everybody on the same page. And you're having to do a massive roster transfer turnover again with 42 transfers?
Coach Prime's time in Colorado comes down to one thing. The top quarterback in the country has named Colorado as the top two finalist. If he chooses Colorado, walk-in takes over for Shador, he stays. If he loses out on the top quarterback, which insiders say he's probably got him, he may be gone. But if the, you know, there's and now there's been some pictures of Shador and the quarterback working out together. So if he gets the quarterback, who is a Georgia boy, just so you know, he stays.
Yeah, no, I think the world is Shador Sanders is a hell of a player, and he's a hell of a player. Travis Hunter, hell of a player. I mean, no question. And I'm a big fan of Deion's. I like him personally and loved him as a player with the Falcons and the Braves, and I personally like him a lot. I just have always said that Colorado was a bad fit for him.
Oh, I agree. He jumped at the first job offered to him, and it was wrong. He should have been a little more patient.
Yeah, I just was not the right fit. He should have waited. Yeah, I think he should have waited and spent another year at Jackson and waited for a better fit for him because Colorado wasn't it. And I could have told you that. It's just, again, this is a vibe thing. You go out there, it's just a different world. I lived a year in Denver. You know, it's like Salt Lake City in a lot of ways. It's a town that has, again, you have to understand the lay of the land. When you get into Denver, Denver's a very parochial town, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the Front Range there, that's the whole world to them because there's no other city within 600 miles of them. You know, I mean, you got to go a hell away to find another town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, so you're really kind of by yourself out there. And you got to get kids and moms to agree to go way out into the middle of Colorado to go watch their kids play, you know, even if you're playing for Deion. And that's not an easy thing to do necessarily. On top of that, you got so much turnover. What happens if he goes 2-10 this year? Now, I don't think he will. He's probably more a 5-7 guy.
Yeah, but 6-5-7. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if he could, imagine this, give you this scenario, John.
Where did they go last year? They went 4-8, right?
4-8, yep. If he sticks out one more year at Jackson State, they would have went undefeated. No ifs, ands, or buts. They'd have ran through the SWAC and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Nick Saban steps down.
Right.
Could he have ended up in Tuscaloosa? Would they have called him? Would they have legitimately said, yep, we're going to interview Deion Sanders for the head job at University of Alabama?
I can't say that because that would have been, you know, I mean, how, he does the commercials with Nick. Is he so tight with Nick that Nick would have, because, you know, I think it would have come down to Nick Saban had the, you know, Nick picked this.
Yeah, he gave a stamp of approval. He definitely gave a stamp of approval.
Right. Yeah. Because he's still with the program.
Yep. That would have been, wouldn't that have been interesting. What ifs of the sports world?
My answer to you is quite possibly because he could have shepherded, and it would have been a far better fit for Deion because Nick could have shepherded him far better than he's been shepherded in Colorado. He said, Deion, you get in here, you do your Deion thing, and we'll put the coaches around you, and Deion built a system out of nothing in Colorado. He would have just walked into a system that was already in place in Alabama, and all he had to do was just be Deion. Yeah, so the answer to that might be yes. All right, quick break, and then Chris Goforth. My thanks to all of you who called in. My thanks to you, Eric Slaughter. Back 10 to 2 tomorrow. A lot of Falcons talk, a lot of football talk on this 4th of July, extended 4th of July weekend on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.